Welcome to I'm Feeling Queer Today. This season, we're taking a queer road trip all around the country.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Cape Cod.
Provo, Utah.
Columbus, Ohio.
Philadelphia.
To answer the big question, what is it like to be queer where you live?
Utah is known as like the Mormon state,
but we actually have a really big community, and for the most part, it's really loving.
If I want to be a queer Mormon, I can be a queer Mormon.
I always say I love Columbus, I don't like Ohio.
I'm trans, so like I hope they can see Spartanburg. You can be a reasonably happy queer adult.
Provincetown taught me to be more adventurous. I get free drag shows every day, just have to look out my window.
You know what place is really cool? Philly. I mean, we have a gayborhood for a reason, you guys.
I'm Feeling Queer Today. New episodes drop every Thursday.
Y'all, if you are a queer parent, and I have a feeling you might be, and you're dreaming of the ultimate family getaway, you have to check this out, y'all. Gays with Kids is hosting their fifth annual LGBTQIA+ Family Spring Break from April 2nd through April 6th, 2026. Mark that on your calendars. It is going to be the perfect mix of fun, community, and a beautiful chance to build real connections with other LGBTQIA families, like mine, because we're going to be there. We're going to be there, too, and I want to see you there. This is it going to be 3 nights aboard Royal Caribbean International, cruising through the Bahamas, surrounded by other amazing queer families. If this sounds like your kind of trip, because it does for me, you're going to head to the link in the show notes to grab your spot. Oh, and don't forget to mention that you heard about it from the Queer Family Podcast. And come say hi to me when you're there. Okay, I hope to see you there. Let's get on with this show. This episode and the entire year's worth of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's go make those babies and then let's talk about it. Okay.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Am I doing enough? Because I'm not, say, like giving the time to other causes that like are dear to our heart as well. Like I try share things when I see it about like trans rights and so on, but it's not where I put like most of my time. Mm-hmm. And like they're one of our most attacked friends at the minute, like as a community, like because they're an easy target right now. And it's like I often think, oh God, I should maybe if I invested the time here, but we like queer people are expected to do everything and we're just constantly fighting. And it's so hard. And like, I think what I try to say to people is it's okay to focus on one thing and put your energy into it and try fight for that, because we have so many fights and there's so many different people fighting for these things that like if we don't win the little battles, we're never going to win the big ones. So sometimes it's okay to do that. And then maybe when our children are finally recognized, we'll be able to put in the work to get other laws changed.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this, as you know, is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And oh, wait a second, did I mention this show is award-winning? You are listening to the proud winner of the 2025 Signal Award. In the parenting and child raising category, we got the Listener's Choice Award, which is huge, and the Silver Award in that category. Yes, go us. Thank you for tuning in. That will be added to my shelves of awards behind me that I try to have in the background of every video if you watch the videos. But what I love about this particular award, to be real, TBH, as the kids don't say anymore, is that we have been recognized in the much broader category of just parenting in general, as opposed to the niche LGBTQIA category or the niche DEIA category. Not that I'm throwing shade on either of those, because I love an award in those categories as well, but it feels good to just be recognized in just parenting, right? Like there's a little bit of normalization for that there in us. The Queer Family Podcast won in that category. So take that, non-queer families. Just kidding. I love you all too. So anyway, that's fun. And when they come in the mail, they will be added to the shelves. So All right, let's talk about the guests that are coming in, because this is such a sweet, sweet episode. Mark and Owen, they are two Irish dads from Ireland, raising two little girls through surrogacy. And these two, I'll tell you what, these two are proof that queer family building is both an act of love and an act of, what do I always say, advocacy. Because their dream to turn into parents became a mission, actually, to change Ireland's outdated surrogacy laws, which need to be changed. And along the way, they have created a home filled with intention, representation, and joy. And it's really, really sweet. These two guys are raising their biracial children with a lot of love and intention. And my biggest takeaway here is sometimes, I guess, the most radical thing we can do is, we LGBTQIA parents can do, is parent out loud, y'all, and then make the system catch up. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I appreciate them for it. And I appreciate them for their advocacy work. And I appreciate them for their exposure. So, you know, let's all keep parenting out loud, showing up and normalizing our beautifully intentional and gorgeous, did I mention gorgeous, families. All right, let's roll the tape. It's a really sweet episode. I'm excited. Trigger warning, there is a mention of a miscarriage in this episode. So just be warned. Otherwise, let's enjoy this episode. Here we go. Helen, Beulah, let's roll that tape, ladies. Here we go.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Owen and Mark.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No complaints today, anyway.
Oh, good. You know, you never know when you're a parent, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Every day's a roller coaster.
Okay, without further ado, I need to get your 30-second elevator pitch so the listeners at home know who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. Are you ready? Get set. Go.
Hi, we are Mark and Owen, two dads through surrogacy to two wonderful daughters, Aria and Nala. We run a page, Two Men in a Surrogacy, and do a lot of work with the Irish government on changing surrogacy laws over there, because the laws are not in existence at the moment. So you can basically do whatever you want over there, changing that at the moment, but it's a bit restrictive. So we're working very hard to get them to make it inclusive of all families.
Oh,
there you go.
I love it. Ooh, you did it. You did it. You did it. And you covered so much. And I want to hear all about the, basically, it sounds like the politics of surrogacy in Ireland. But before we do that, let's just go into your family building journey. And did you do it here in the States or did you do it over in Ireland?
We did it here. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been together 10, almost 11 years now. We moved over to New York like 8 years ago. Well, I had this amazing opportunity to go to Cornell. I had a scholarship with my job, MasterCard, and they said, we'll send you over. We'll pay for your apartment. We'll pay for everything. And I was like,
that amazing.
Yeah, yes.
And I was like, yeah, I'll come too. Why not? Free apartment in New York. I'll try that for a year.
Yeah.
That was before it was terrible here. But yeah, go. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And this was the thing, was we moved over. It was the best year of our lives because free wage while you're studying in university. Great. We lived on Roosevelt Island because that's where Cornell Tech was.
Uh-huh.
So it was a really unique experience as well, because it's just not somewhere I think people generally move to when they move to New York.
Yeah. No, not Roosevelt Island. You're correct.
A lot of New Yorkers haven't even been to Roosevelt Island yet.
Yeah.
We actually looked at apartments on Roosevelt Island and decided against it because we were like, no, I don't think so. This commute is going to kill us. So
it's a beautiful island. Like, there's, it's a really safe place for a family to be, but there is very little on there. There's no life. There's no kind of, you know, it's great and safe, as you say, for kids. And there's very little traffic, all of that kind of thing. But for the adults, there's not really much to do. You have to leave the island, you know?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. So you're here in New York and...
We were always interested in being fathers, you know what I mean? It was something that was always on our radar. And so the actual idea of surrogacy felt like such a... crazy pipe dream. You know, it seemed so difficult. It seemed so far away from us. But then we started looking into it, and we kind of just were looking into the pros and the cons of how to do things and what not to do and what to do and blah, blah, blah. But then COVID came and it gave us a lot of time to actually sit down and really focus on what we were doing and do the research and start the process, I suppose.
Because we were trying to be that like good traditional Irish family of like, get married first.
And then, have kids before marriage.
Yeah, crazy.
You can't do that.
And then we were like, the pandemic hit. So we basically were like, oh, you know what? The wedding's delayed, however long, who knows? It was pushed out like six months, like every time.
Yeah.
So we were just like, you know what we can do with all this free time we have sitting at home together? We can try plan for a child. Like, we really hadn't planned it. So we didn't have like a huge amount of money saved like most couples would or anything like that, other than for the wedding we were going to throw. So we said, you know what, let's use that.
So you took your allocated wedding funds towards your surrogacy journey.
Yes. Exactly. And we ended up doing an independent journey based on the cash flow. So we were just like, we couldn't afford an agency if we tried to.
Break that down, because at the agency, is it all like upfront, or they didn't let you do it piecemeal, or?
From talking to friends and other gay dads across the internet and so on, as you do, like, we started looking at the fees they all paid, and we were just like, it's just like insurmountable for us. We just couldn't do it. Whereas what allowed us to happen by doing an independent journey was we were able to just take it step by step. So like, we very much found a clinic first, and we created our embryos, and that was like one chunk of like 20,000 to 30,000. And we were like, okay, pause.
Did you get the egg donor through the clinic?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you went to the clinic and they gave you kind of a book full of egg donors.
Like, it was like looking at a Tinder or so. Like, you know, it was looking through these profiles.
You are not the first person on this show to say that.
Yeah, it was very surreal. Yeah.
Yes.
So the kind of what we were looking for was mainly it was medical history. You know, we have things in our families that we don't want to link up with someone else who also has those things, just to kind of take the focus off of that area. And hopefully there was nothing hereditary coming through or whatever.
And not the things you'd think. So basically, like, on his family get migraines. So anyone who even mentioned like a headache was like gone. Like, we're just not risking that.
Just silly things like that.
See, that's the thing, though, when you have the choice to do your best to kind of weed out like migraines, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of course, if we have the chance, we're going to do it. But but that's why I lovingly refer to this search as the search for the superhuman, because sometimes we get a little, like, I got a little too crazy with it. I went a little
Where
too
do you
far.
Stop? Where do you stop? And that's the thing, is that, and a lot of the, you know, at the time as you said, it was during the pandemic. So we were chatting to our friends in Ireland a lot about it and kind of describing the process. And some people were getting quite angry at this, kind of going, are you looking for looks? Are you looking for only good looking? It's like, it's not about the looks, but it is also one of these things where if you have something that, like, let's just, for example, you're not happy with your nose and you don't like the nose of someone, you're kind of going, you can't help but be irrational about it.
Or, I know.
You know, and it's those kind of things. It's not about this, we're only going to look for a good looking person, but you're trying to, because you can, you're kind of get into this space of where you're trying to kind of to plan. Yeah. And you can't, obviously, but
give them the best leg up, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, like, I know I'm super short. I don't like being super short. So why wouldn't I choose a really tall donor, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I actually didn't do that.
After all,
like,
that.
I was silly and I was like, I don't want them to be so tall because I'm short. Yeah. That was a dumb idea, though. I would recommend going to
you get into a weird headspace.
It's so funny. Like, our donor, funnily enough, I don't even think we looked at height. And then we met her in person and she walked in and she was like a little taller than me with heels. So I was like, oh, she's tall.
Oh,
but our
daughters
now are like 99 percentile, like every time they get measured. And they're like a foot above their cousins. But it's great because it's like, they love it. They don't notice anything. And it's like, look, tall people are generally more successful is what I'm telling myself. So it's fine.
I mean, it's true. Listen, our daughter was 99th percentile until like towered until, and then in third grade, she like evened out and she was 50th percentile for quite a long time, 50, 60. And now she's headed back up into the 90s.
You know, she's getting tall. There's no reason to it all.
Yeah. It's so weird. And my son is like, wasn't even, he was like third percentile. So, you know, you go figure.
You
know. Go figure.
That's it.
You can plan
you just
all you
can't
want.
Plan these. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. And when people used to say, oh, you're going all against looks and so on, I used to just say back to them, like, do you not like look for your partner to be good looking as well?
I mean, yeah,
like,
is this give not us a something... break.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Our doctor, actually, funnily enough, was the person who told us, was like, look, you're looking so much at like education and health and everything.
Which is not.
Half of them stuff don't pass on. Yeah. Like looks pass on.
And listen, I went straight for looks first, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I was like, first and foremost, let's make sure, you know, like, listen, you know, and we have had people say, oh yeah, you two have the perfect kids, like throwing shade at us because we were able to pick certain things, but get out of here. Like,
you know, if you went to anyone and said that you now have to pick what your child should be, you know, they're going to have to start discriminating, for want of a better description. They're going to go, that's not what I want, so I want, you know. And it's like, so anyone who's put in that position is going to kind of feel that they want what they feel is best, you know.
Right.
And it's like,
and you see all these couples actually on Instagram now where they have like, and I don't know how I've ended up on this side of TikTok or Instagram, but like they have 8 kids and they're like, I still haven't had a boy or something. And it's kind of thinking like, if they had the choice, obviously they would go boy now, because they keep talking about it in every video. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they'd have the same judgment on us for doing similar things.
Right. Yeah. The difference is we have the choice. And so we use the choice how we best see fit. And also, of course, I just have to put this out there. We want healthy, happy children above all. But it's fun to talk about this search and how, and the things that we end up caring about, that once you have the kids, you realize none of that mattered. Yeah, no, they come out the little beings that they come out, and you know.
It's so strange, actually, just so you mentioned that, because both our daughters were from embryos that were created at the same time. And then there's 20 months between them. And so, but they couldn't be more different. They literally couldn't be more.
Isn't that interesting? And they're from the same batch, so to speak. Like,
exactly.
That sounds weird, but, it's not like a batch of pancakes, but you know.
From the same egg, essentially. Not same egg, but like the same batch of eggs, you know, the same...
Same cycle.
Yeah, same cycle.
Same cycle. That's really interesting. And that happens a lot with IVF and siblings. But okay, so taking it back, because you mentioned that you met her. So this is something that when we go the anonymous donor route, when we go to people who have 2 uteruses, uteri, we don't, generally, it's not something that you don't get to meet this person. But I've spoken to many folks who have extra sperm and not a uterus, who get to meet that egg donor, which is like a special, extra, you love it, loving thing. Like, it's so special.
We wanted her not necessarily to be a part of our life, but we wanted her to be known. We that was just something that we were very clear on from the start. So a lot of the egg donors that we saw on their profiles and all that didn't want to be known, and we're like, okay, well, that might be a deal breaker for us.
And then, like, they did say, look, there is 23andMe, there's all these other things. Yeah. If you like truly look, you'll find someone.
Yeah.
And we just kind of said, well, why don't we just remove that from the beginning and know? And I think just like, I was very much aware of, I don't know, like in my head specifically beforehand, I thought like they're going to be missing a mother because people had said that like and so on. And
it's in the soup we live in. It's hard to get that. We're raised on that, right? It's hard to get those thoughts out of our heads, even though we know we're going to be excellent parents and we're going to be loving. And, you know, it's hard to get those thoughts out of our heads.
Exactly. And now that we have the children and we're raising them, I'm like, oh, there's literally no difference. But the thing is, I wanted them to know the 2 women who helped create them. So we obviously know our surrogate.
Mm-hmm. We're very close.
Yeah, very close with our surrogate. She's a good friend. And then the egg donor, we had this like, so it was very funny. She had like this really like old school lawyer who was like, okay, so you can have her house phone number. And I was like, who even has a house phone? Like, and what if she moves? Like, I need more info than that. And then, me being like, It's not stalkerish, but like basically I just reversed imaged one of the, researched one of the images and was like, look, I found her Instagram. Can you ask her, can I follow her?
That's amazing.
They were basically like, well, sure. Like she has no problem with that, so on. So I ended up like unfollowing and reconnecting separately because I was like, I know people would look for that.
Yeah,
because people are just nosy as
hell. People are so nosy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they want to know and they'll do whatever. And, you know, and I will show friends pictures of the donor if they ask.
Oh, we show friends. We're allowed to do that, but we're not allowed like put it on social media is the agreement we have.
And also, like but my point is like, they're still so nosy, even though I'm an open book and I will happily share it with you. They try to like get info like in stealth ways. And I'm like, just ask. I have a podcast about this. Like, okay, listen, like you could just ask me. You don't have to be stealth. Like, just ask me the question. To your point of wanting to know, have some sort of a relationship with the donors or at least know them in some capacity. I totally get that. I just want to delve a little bit deeper into the donor thing because we haven't done that so much this season. And I think it's worth a conversation. When we started our journey, I didn't think it was going to matter. So dumb. Like I clearly didn't do my research. It does. It's going to matter, you know, but I was like, oh no, they're not going to miss a dad. They're not going to, it's fine, whatever. He's just this sperm donor. We almost even got like a closed ID donor, which they don't even have anymore. But when we were doing it, they had those at the bank. They don't have that anymore. And then we quickly realized, no, that was a bad idea. Let's go with the open ID. So we had the open ID. And then one of the donor sibling families reached out to me and was like, listen, and I guess because I have a podcast, so they found me and they knew, listen, we used your same donor. And actually, we personally know him. He's our friend.
Oh.
And he said that he would be totally open to being contacted by you all as well. So just extending that to you. So now I have an adult picture of him and I have the ability to reach out if I want. So I just keep asking my kids if they want it. And that really has given me like so much peace of mind. So
I think it's very important, you know, that they have that choice if they
it's used to be. It's nice. Yeah. And some people don't want it at all. And, you know, to each your own, but also, you know, just always think about the kids and what they're going to need the most in life. And, but now whenever my kids ask, you know, I'm always talking about the donor, but whenever they ask pointed questions, I say, well, you know, we can ask him himself. Do you want me to send an email? Do you want to write an email? No. And they're still not interested, but it's an option. And that makes me so happy.
Yeah. And I think that option then takes away kind of the fascination, if you know what I mean, that they know they can, then they're like, well, they don't need to. Whereas if you don't let them, they're like, oh, but I really want to, you know?
I don't know.
It's a, that's the it's thing. Interesting. As you say.
For us, our daughter, our oldest daughter calls our, her donor, her donut, which is very funny. She's never met her, but she knows like, that's how she was formed and so on. We tried to be as open as possible.
We have a picture of the donor with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because our eldest daughter has, they both have a book of their people, if you know what I mean, their cousins and their uncles, but they also have their donor and their surrogate. And
their origin story, yeah.
Exactly. And for the donor, what I found really helpful is, because it's not like, we're not friends with her per se, like as in we keep in contact, but it's more like, happy birthday. Here's a picture of the girls on their birthdays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like happy holidays. Or like one thing I have asked her for and she said she would get back to me is like, she's from Nigeria. So like, hey, could you just give me a bit of info of like where in Nigeria? I know she mentioned like they were part of like a cultural tribe. Like what was that called? Like all of these things that then I can like pass on to our children.
She was born in America, but her parents are from
Nigeria. Exactly.
Nigeria.
Yeah,
so she,
and her parents like would go back there all the time. So there's lots of info about it. And the way I kind of thought about it was we meet Irish people all the time. Irish Americans who are like, oh, my dad's from Ireland. And I'm like, oh, where in Ireland? And they're like, I have no idea. And I just wanted them.
That's me.
If they spoke.
That's me right here.
Which is fair. You don't need to. Yeah, but I was like, I just want them to be able to say, you know, our egg donor's from Nigeria, this part, like, this is what I know about it. And then if they want to know more info, as you say, when they're like 11 or 12 or older than that, we can say, you can just ask her. Like, if you want to text her, no problem. If you want me to send an email, no problem. Like, whatever you want.
I want to dig into the fact that they're half Nigerian as well, and you two are Irish white guys. So yeah. I do want to dig into that too, and how you're parenting around that and making sure it's a part. I'm sure I'm imagining you're doing much work to make sure that all the cultures are celebrated and loved. But I don't want to get there yet, because I want to first finish your whole journey to making the babies. I got you so sidetracked by the donor thing. You got your egg
embryos
donor.
Created. Embryos. Pause, I want to say. And that pause was more like, we need to find a surrogate. And our clinic had told us what we needed. For anyone who's ever found a surrogate, like, they are so specific on like what they want. And they kind of said like, look, this is what we'll accept, but this is like the unicorn, like what you want. So someone who's like done a surrogacy before, so that they can help guide you through, especially if you're doing independent. Someone
who's finished their family.
Someone between this age range, and I can't remember
35
exactly.
35 was the eldest, or just 30 even, wasn't it?
No, I think it was 35 or something. Yeah. But anyway, there was lots of criteria that they had to meet. There was a guy we found on YouTube/men having babies/Facebook area that had told his story about an independent journey, Steve, and he basically. I put up a post in one of these groups asking like, hey, I'm starting to look for a surrogate. What would you as like gay dads recommend? And he was like, I've done this if you want to reach out. And I instantly recognized him from the video we had watched that had made us realize we could do an independent journey. So I just said, look, I'd love a phone call because I already know about your journey, but I'd love just more info. So helpful. Such a like mentor and guide, and walked us through like, hey, you go onto these groups. Here are some Facebook groups you can join. You put up like some photos of yourself. You tell them exactly the criteria your clinic's looking for and who you are. So we did that. And we got a lot of people reach out. We did.
This is where I would get scared, because you just don't know who's reaching out, right?
Yes.
And so, and when you don't have legal help at this point, you know, like...
It's funny, Mark mentioned earlier on that like he's a bit of a stalker online, or he has the ability.
Let's call it a sleuth. He's a sleuth.
That sounds better. Yeah.
Facebook.
So as Mark said, it's very easy to find out who's telling the truth and who's not being upfront about who they are.
Well, because
you can easily find things about them in the past or whatever.
You're in all the surrogacy groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you can just search this person's name after they've messaged you in the groups, because most of them had said they had done a journey before. And every single one of them would say, I had no problems, my journey was painless, and so on. And then you'd start going through the Facebook groups and be like, oh my God, they like do not speak to their IPs, intended parents anymore. Like, they don't have a relationship there. It all broke down at the end of it. Like, or like some of them actually had complications and so on. I have no problem. Like, obviously, like no one's pregnancy is perfect. Like, pregnancy is hard. You expect complications, mm-hmm. but just tell me about them kind of thing. Like, if we're not starting on complete honesty, then it's never going to work. So we had actually, I think like I ended up talking to like hundreds possibly of people. And
it was exhausting.
It was exhausting and it was really hard. And I think we were getting to the point of like, I don't know if we're going to find someone. And I then was like looking through the pages one day, and this woman had commented on another woman's post asking questions, saying, hey, I've just finished my second journey. I'd probably do a third sometime in the future. Here is my advice and so on. And she just, like, the way she answered seemed lovely. And I sent a message underneath it saying, I hope you don't mind if I DM you. And she actually didn't respond, but I DM'd because I was like, well, if she sees it, if she wants to ignore it, she can ignore it.
Right,
and it basically just said like, hey, we're a couple. Here's a link to our post looking. And I don't even think I said, oh, you're considering another journey. Would love to chat to you if you were open to it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't respond. And just forgot about it.
It was going great.
And was like, don't worry, it's fine. And we kept looking and kept doing interviews and so on. And then we were home for, like, back in Ireland for like the holidays. And I get this message being like, oh my God, I didn't even know I had message requests. Like, just saw your message, would love to chat.
Oh.
Do you want to hop on a FaceTime? And we hopped on a FaceTime, I think, the next day. And she was the most loving, caring, like, wonderful woman was like, oh, I had these complications, or I wish we had done this, or I had, just so open about everything.
Yeah. We knew, it was like Kismet. It was just was straight like, away we knew, okay, this is someone we wouldn't want to go on this journey with.
Yeah.
You know, and
she had said she wanted a relationship. It was very, with the
that,
parents.
That actually stood out most. And she goes, like, I've done surrogacies before. I'm kind of friends with the IPs and with the surrogacy kids.
The kids born to surrogacy.
Yeah. So she's kind of gone, but I see them on Facebook, or I get a message kind of once a year just saying how they're doing or whatever.
Her previous ones were based in Europe, so it was a little bit different as well.
Right. She's based in Texas, so it's still far away. But she was just like, but I'd love to have just a small relationship so that I can kind of just be able to see them kind of grow and see them kind of be successful in life or whatever it might be. And we were like, well, of course, like, this is exactly what we want. We want someone who has a relationship. We want someone who will come visit, or we will visit.
And she kept saying y'all's baby. And it was really, that like really stood out because we had, as I said, like going through all them other people. Like, I remember like one of the people we met with was like collectively saying our, and I was like, no. Whereas she was just so on it and so lovely. And so her name's Haley. Haley is like all over our Facebook and Instagram and everything, because basically like we ended up just becoming like best friends with her.
And she came to visit us there just back in the summer. So she came in June, actually.
Yes.
So she traveled here. She wanted to see the girls and spend some time. And it was brilliant.
And she has two kids of her own. Yep. And they're like so wonderful. And we get on, like, it's so funny because the first time she came, she brought her brother and we got on with him like a house on fire. And then the next time, because after she did our journey with Aria, she said, like, I don't think I want to do another journey with anyone else, but I know you want to do another journey. And we were like, yes. Yeah, so done. We went with Nala then, and her sister came that time, and like, just, we had the best time and we got on so well with the whole family, and we've met her mother and father and everything. It's just like so great.
So she came back to do the second baby as well.
Yes. Exactly. And she was just so amazing, and we were so lucky with her. So just to give a little bit more details about both journeys, for both journeys, we implanted two embryos. So for our first journey, we actually were pregnant with twins till 17 weeks and we lost our boy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So thank you. It was really hard, but we kind of like had this kind of, I guess, like joy in that the doctor had told us, you know, it's vanishing twin syndrome. So the other twin will, like, I guess, consume or absorb them. Yeah. And we were like, oh, well, do you know what? They'll always be a part of each other. What actually happened in reality was, because it was 17 weeks, like it was, or like he was like a little, like, being, I guess. So he ended up being born with Aria, which we had not planned on. So it was like very shocking being in the hospital and that happening. But the joy that came from it afterwards was, we now have like his ashes, and it felt much more real. And we named him, and so Shane was our son's name.
Shane.
And we have like his ashes with a picture of the four of us in the hospital when she was first born and he was there. And like, it was so, I won't say that the experience at the time was lovely, because we ended up having to go back to the hospital and give feedback and everything like that. However, the aftermath of having him in the house and so on, and because I think like when you lose a child, like or have any type of miscarriage or fertility problems and so on, sometimes, especially depending on the time, it can feel like not real, or like you lost a dream more so than a child, kind of thing. Whereas this became very real for us, where we got to hold him and everything. So it was lovely, even though we lost him at, I guess, I don't want to say an early, because it's like 17 weeks I guess it felt late because we had been through the checks that are like, your child's most likely to survive at this point now. But it's still, relatively.
So I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, we wouldn't have known other than, because the 20-week scan was our next scan.
Yeah.
So we only found out because I was like, you know what would be fun for my birthday? Is doing a private scan.
Let's get a 3D scan.
Which we laugh at now. Yeah. And it's like, but look, these things happen. And I don't know if we would have our second daughter had we had twins the first time, like,
right,
so quickly, and be the same, because everything, like, I always think like, we could have implanted or like transferred her at a different time and then it mightn't have taken. So you just don't know, or Haley mightn't have been available and it all would have been different. So it all works out the way, I guess, like what's meant to happen. And we have our second daughter, Nala, as well, who again, we implanted too, but just the other embryo never took, which felt very different. It didn't feel much like a loss, I guess. It just felt like, oh, it didn't take. And funny enough with Nala, she was always, like they said, like she is smaller than she should be throughout the pregnancy, because they were like, it's actually tracking as if she didn't attach for a few days. Like she almost swam around and was like, oh, now I'm ready, which is very much who she is, yeah, as a person.
You can describe her personality better. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it worked out great. So look, we have two beautiful daughters, 3 and 19 months now. Yeah, and it's what it was meant to be, I guess. We have said 4, but we'll see if we're going to
We always
had
the number of, we want 4 kids. We're Irish, you know, we got to have big families. So it's like, yeah, let's have 4 kids. Yeah. Now we're like, oh, I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
it's like, that's 2 a lot. Is quite a lot.
Yeah, but you know, you'll see if the bug bites you.
This is the thing, but now that our eldest Aria has started in 3K, so she's in school for most of the day. So now it's like, oh, so this is what it's like to have nap times again, because she didn't nap for the longest time. So it's like, oh, so actually maybe we could go again.
Yeah.
Just remember, the naps end completely though, and then they're just up.
Yes, yeah, they're there.
But then hopefully by the time another one would come, if we were to do that, they might both be in 3K. So we at least have a certain period of the day that you like only have the newborn or however.
Yeah, they're going to get to school age, and that does get easier. It gets easier.
In different ways. I've heard it so many times that it gets easier, but it gets also more difficult because you're now dealing with a personality. Whereas, you have that little bit of a tiny break during the day, which is nice. Yeah.
I remember nap time. I used to get so much done during nap time. Oh my God, I loved nap time. I loved it so much. I don't get it anymore. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Oh, now, come on. You don't think I'd let a whole episode go by without mentioning sperm and my promo code with California Cryobank. Not only does California Cryobank have a very stringent screening process and diverse donor selection that will help you find the ideal sperm donor, Legivitaqual folks can also take advantage of benefits like free vial transfer between partners and a personalized letter if needed for second parent adoption. Y'all, they are thinking about us. They also offer a vial buyback opportunity, a digital donor keepsake of your donor's information for you and your family to keep, which I pull out regularly to talk with my children about their donor. They offer access to California Cryobank's private sibling donor registry, which we are on, financing, free newborn stem cell preservation, which includes cord blood and cord tissue processing, plus 1 year of storage, and so much more. They will be there for you every step of the way. Start your donor search today by visiting cryobank.com and using promo code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also apply that code to a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information about these donors. Go make the babies and then come tell me about them. Okay, back to the episode.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down? And you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all, and everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Love is love.
I do want to ask about, so once you chose the surrogate, did you do anything legal? Did you have a contract? Yeah, let's discuss that a little.
So basically everything in an independent journey is pretty much the exact same as a agency journey, except you just have to do the stuff yourself. So instead of like them finding a lawyer for you, you have to find it. So like mm-hmm. Hayley still had to go through like a psychological check to make mm-hmm. sure she okay. was fine. Even though our lawyer ended up being based in Texas because they had to because of her giving birth in Texas. So it had to be under Texas law, not New uh-huh. York law. Uh-huh. So we have a lawyer in New York for our egg donor, but then a separate one in Texas for Hayley. And we found them and they were great. And then we had to find a separate one for Hayley. And we just kind of said, like, is this lawyer okay with you? And if not, then you're welcome to tell us who you want yeah. us to pay, essentially.
Yeah.
But she was happy with that person. So, and the reason is because obviously they can't be the same person because they would be kind of leaning towards one person or not fighting for best interest of both parties. Thankfully, actually, Hayley, because she had done surrogacy journeys before,
that's what
was
I was
like,
say.
Here's my contract. Yeah.
Can we copy this contract?
Use most yeah. of this. And there was a few changes we made in terms of like, she was like, look, I had just had a surrogacy journey. I don't need maternity clothes. But actually, at the end of my last journey, I kind of needed some massages. Would that be okay to put in there and so on? So there's a lot of chatting. And actually, what was great about not having the agency was she just text us yeah. and be like, same. Is this okay?
Right.
Can I charge this and so on?
It made us understand everything a bit more as well, because usually when you get a contract, you're like, what is all this? Whereas she was able to say, this is important to me, or I want to add this, or that's not important, take it out. And we were like, well, this is important to us. Can we add that in? Is that okay with you? You know, it was just so much nicer than, can you ask your client if we can do this? You know, so yeah. it was actually really lovely. And
we had an escrow for the money.
That's right.
Because you had to always have like a certain minimum in there. I think it was like 20,000 or something. So we would put that in as a lump sum and then we could top it up, thankfully. Uh-huh.
So you didn't have to have it all.
But she would know
away.
That there's yeah. like at least 3 months payment in there and so on.
For like all the medical bills and all the medical bills.
Because yeah,
it's not everything. Covered under insurance, right? Like
no,
all
it
her doctor visits you had to pay out of pocket.
So for some of them, I think her insurance ended up covering just yeah, because she had like a surrogacy inclusive
yeah.
one that basically oh. they were like, well, look, if you're getting a scan, you're getting a scan. It doesn't matter whose baby it is.
Mm.
Like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, you're paying for the insurance kind of thing, which was great. Because
yeah.
Especially with the birth, we have friends who didn't have like that same insurance, like just, and basically like they ended up having to pay like all her hospital fees as well. Whereas like, thankfully for us, her fees covered under her insurance. And then as soon as the baby was born, it swapped to our insurance.
Uh-huh.
And I think there was one or two small things, like she ended up getting charged for an appointment Aria had and it was like $400. And I was like, you know what? Instead of fighting with the insurance, I'm just going to pay, like, it's just
They'll
easier.
Pay you $400. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would have to go back to like the hospital and get Nala's like or Aria's date changed or and it was too complex. And I was
yeah.
like, look, it's $400 in the grand scheme of things. After everything we paid, like that's fine.
How much money do you think? I know it's hard to say, but could you like estimate how much money you might have saved?
For our first journey, I'm going to estimate around $100,000.
Yeah.
But that included
still
everything.
Not cheap. Still
no,
not
still,
cheap.
Still not cheap. But that also included like everything. Like when I say 100,000, that included everything from like Airbnb for 3 weeks in Texas. Like the flights, we like took a trip out. We paid for Hayley to come in for the transfer. And some of that you could cut back out. You don't have to go to the 20-week scan and stuff. Like I personally loved it, but still. Also, we had paid for like a package in our clinic that... like it was like a guaranteed transfer kind of thing. So like if Haley had had a miscarriage or whatever, they would have transferred again, inclusive of that cost.
Oh, yeah. So you paid like a lump sum with the caveat that...
Exactly. If there was problems and so on. So it ended up being about 100,000. But what I will say is like, so my company then, two things that happened was they had a lump sum that they gave us towards that as well for fertility benefits. So
that's great.
And it wouldn't pay for any of the health, but it helped. It actually pretty much covered like all of our Airbnb and the car rental and stuff like that, anything related to it. Because it's called like, I think it's like a family planning benefit or something. So they're aware that like health insurance doesn't cover all the costs of like traveling to clinics and doing these things. There's a lot of other things. So that was one lifetime benefit. So once we used that, that was gone. So it was, the first journey was cheaper because of that. And also with our health insurance, we ended up getting money back. So when we first went through, they had said, you know, you actually have 30,000 in healthcare benefits for IVF and stuff. And we were like, oh, amazing, great. And then I was talking to them on the phone and I was like, hey, it seems we meet all the criteria. They were like, yeah, how long have you been trying to have kids?
For
and we're
year.
Like, yeah, like for, have you been trying for a year? And we were like, yeah, I guess so. And they were like, what's your wife's name? And I was like, well, my husband's name. And they were like, well, like, you can't. And I said, well, I'm reading your policy here and it says, it has no gender on it. It says, have you had sex for a year without protection and not got pregnant? And I can guarantee you that is the truth. We have not gotten pregnant.
I love this. Yeah.
And I was like, if you want to gender your language, that's fine. But right now it's not gendered.
It's not there. And did it work?
Because I think it was United Healthcare we wore at the time. And they came back and said, look, there are other companies that cover this, but they have to pay an additional fee as a company. So I just went back to MasterCard and was like, hey, I don't think you're going to cover it for us because we've already paid all these huge fees. But for the next person, they should never be on a call and get that same feedback and have to go through that. And they were like, yeah, that's absolutely bullshit. And they went back and changed it. And were like, we've actually asked United Healthcare to cover your costs as well. So they ended up giving the clinic back a load of money as well, which in fairness, we didn't get it in hand. It was with the clinic and I had troubles kind of getting it then. However, it just covered our entire second journey
they
with
kind of
Nala.
Held on
so
to it
I was
and
like,
just use it as credit. Just,
yeah.
That's amazing. And that's the thing I say, and this is something I didn't have the wherewithal when we were going through it and IVF wasn't covered and things were not covered, right? I didn't have the wherewithal to like go to the employer, our employer, and be like, hey, yo, this is biased and this is total shit. So you can switch. Any company can switch to a more inclusive policy. It just takes people in the company, employees coming to them and saying, we all need this. So that's just a note for everyone out there who's ready to go on this journey. Like you can talk to your company about the insurance that they have. And I didn't do it and I wish I had. So good for you.
Everything down to leave as well. Like when I started there, I started there when we started dating and they didn't have like adoption leave or anything like that or any inclusive leave. It was just like, if you're a woman who gives birth, you get leave. Now they have like after a lot of like queer employees pushing for it and single mothers and so on or like foster parents, like they have like a super inclusive policy that's parental leave for 16 weeks. Which was like fantastic to have that time. And it's just like, I've seen it time and time again, like you can really push for these things in your company and explain like, actually, like there is benefits, especially because like one of our biggest pushes was like, this actually helps women as well, because like women who are taking time like to give birth means that people will actively go, you know, they could get pregnant. I might, and they won't say it out loud, obviously, because it's illegal, but I might hire a man who can't get pregnant or doesn't have the same leave. But when we both have the same leave, that's removed from the equation.
Oh, good point.
And like, as we started pushing like senior leadership and stuff to take it as well, you'll see like both genders take it now and it's totally inclusive and everyone's like, actually, it's not that disruptive to your work and you can like talk through this. And when we're more open about these conversations, it makes everyone's life easier. Like for me, I ended up taking Aria's at the beginning because first child, we were like, oh, what are we doing? And then I learned, actually, you know, like, we were very lucky with Aria as well. She was very quiet, didn't do much as a baby, but she was like crazy at one. So I was like, with Nala, I'm going to take most of my leave at the end of the first year, because like that's her busiest time and the hardest on own and stuff like that. So because he's a stay at home dad. Yeah. So the flexibility is great.
More power to you.
I'm just hanging in.
It's hard. But no, yeah. That's a really great, I love that. That's such a good point. And it's something that came up a couple times this season, is that giving us rights, the rights that we fight for, don't just help us. They help everyone.
They always help everyone.
We're not trying to just get rights for us. We're trying to make life better for all. Mm. And if people could just see that, like, it's just so obvious. But so I love that you made that point. And I love that you pushed back on that whole gender thing with the insurance company, because I wonder if they went in and gendered it after your conversation. Because then that's like obviously blatant. Like now you really, really, really are being homophobic, right?
Yeah, let's highlight it here, please. Yeah, exactly.
Like now it's not veiled. Now it really is.
They seem
crazy
to be doing, like, the main thing was, I can't speak for the health insurance, who are always on themselves. You know, they're trying never to pay out. We all know that with health insurance anyway. But, like, all I can say is, like, for us as a company and, like, the company I've worked for, like, they've, anytime I've gone to them about anything, they've been like, yeah, that makes sense. That's like, that's logical. Like, why wouldn't we do that and so on, which has been great.
Good for you. So once again, the lesson here is be your own advocate. Come on. Unfortunately, we have to be our own advocates still. Like we have to, everybody does, but we seem to have to do it more so.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Always. And even actually the one other place we advocated for that I think was really important was the hospital. So we had obviously had like a not great experience the first time in the hospital because of Shane being born and everything like that. The nurses were the people who were great.
Yeah.
90% of them. There was one or two people who would like very much refer to Hayley as the mother and so on. And there was no badness meant out of it. It just, they didn't have the right training and the right vocab and so on. Me being me, sent like a 6-page, like, here's a breakdown of all the problems we had, like with pictures and with like, and also here are the people who are great and could train the rest of your staff kind of thing.
They would give you like the little footprints on a kind of certificate, and then name of mother crossed out and father.
And like scribble out. Like, I saw you open a Word document and print that. You could have easily changed it instead of scribbling. So
you knew we were there. You know what I mean?
But in fairness to the director, so I emailed again the second time we were, because they did give feedback and we're like, we're changing these things and so on. And I just said like, hey, just so you know, we're coming here again for our second daughter. Just a reminder of all the problems. Like, I hope we don't have them.
Wow.
The best experience the second time.
It was seamless. Yeah.
They had changed all the paperwork. Yep. They had like new inclusive parent. And they are very much like a mother's hospital, like giving birth and so on. So they were like, look, in straight scenarios, we do sometimes get, and I was like, that's fine. I just want my parent. Like, that's not a problem.
That's what I want.
Yeah. And for us, like, it was just such a like, change of experience, like even for us, because we had a babysitter for Aria all day for Nala being born, because Hayley had gone in at like 6 a.m. We were in there for every moment of it, and her sister was babysitting Aria, and then we had a sitter when her sister was putting her kids to bed. So we were like, oh, we'll have a sitter for Aria, and then we'll bring her to the hospital when Nala's born, and we'll put her to sleep in our room.
Aww.
All planned perfectly. Of course, what happened was
Nala being Nala,
you know, Hayley's not going to go for a while. You go home, Owen, and you collect Aria and bring her back, because it could be the middle of the night. The second he leaves the hospital,
she
goes into labor.
Of course.
So he goes, collects Aria. He thankfully gets back in time, but Aria is then there. So what do we do with her? Because we don't have time to put her to sleep and so on. Parents have their children in the room. It's not something we wanted to do. I was like, she doesn't need to see all that.
Yeah.
So we just said, like, what can we do? And one of the nurses was like, give me a second. Actually, it was our doula, Michelle, amazing, was like, let me call someone. She called one of the nurses, was like, I just need you to stand outside the door with a child for 2 minutes. They were like, no problem. She stood outside, played with our daughter.
Oh, my God.
Like, we then had Nala, and then she came in straight after, brought her in. Like, they were all so wonderful. It was just a whirlwind different experience, like, for all the good reasons. Yeah. So it's like, advocating for yourself can never hurt.
And this
well, right. can, I'm sure. And
the,
ways,
the thing is, a lot of the time we get so aggravated that we think, oh, everyone's against us. Sometimes people just don't know what the problems
right.
are.
Right. That's what I was going to say. A lot of times, you know, like we do. A lot of times we assume that there's a hatred or there's some inside bias, but sometimes it's also just what you don't know, you don't know.
Of course. Yeah.
And it just takes somebody saying.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how often in rural Texas did I have like a gay couple flying in like that is right. going to have the exact scenario we had with surrogacy and so on. Like,
although randomly, Texas is one of the most surrogacy friendly states.
Texas is. I guess like so Lubbock is a smaller town again. So yeah. like it's one of those things, but it was so worthwhile to say something. So yeah, big
absolutely.
Advocate
and give
for
people the benefit of the doubt and just say, hey, look, here is my issues. If you can fix them, great. You know, rather than being
and
angry.
And sometimes it works out. Hopefully more times than not.
Yes, hopefully.
And that's another takeaway here.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Right? Like sometimes it's not on their radar. And we just have to put it on their radar for them, which sucks, but better than it being the other thing, which nobody wants to feel that. We're running low on time, so I want to talk about Ireland and what you're doing to advocate there.
When we had our surrogacy, just thought nothing of it and was like, yeah, we'll eventually move home to Ireland. Not a big deal.
The girls have a birth cert.
And then I came across this page. I think it was Equality for Children First with Renee Von Metting.
I interviewed her years ago.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's incredible. And I reached out because I saw that they had mentioned surrogacy and so on and was like, what's the story in Ireland kind of thing? And she was like, oh, there's this another group, Irish Gay Dads, you should connect with them as well. But I ended up connecting with both of them, realized that there was no laws in Ireland around surrogacy, but there was groups advocating for it. So I got involved very quickly and very quickly became the vice chairperson of Irish Gay Dads.
I'm starting to see the personality here. I'm starting to see where we're okay.
Because I felt like, okay, well, I can't truly say we did everything we possibly could for our daughters if I'm not involved. So what I learned was our birth cert in America, parent one, parent two, own and mark. We're both on it. It's all there. Their surrogacy info is in a different place, but they have access to everything. But on their birth cert, it says us. Great. In Ireland, they would create a new birth. So they don't just recognize that birth cert. They don't recognize that birth cert for gay couples. They do it for straight couples.
Well, even in the States, you got to be careful too, because that's why they always say you get second parent adoption just in case. Because
exactly.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, like, so my brother, who's straight and has the exact same birth cert, but with his wife's name on it, their kids were instantly recognized, given a passport, no problem. And then for us, they go, okay, so who gave birth to these children?
Right.
Not who's the genetic, like,
not the egg donor.
Like who gave birth. Physical birth. So we would then say Haley, and they would then say, is Haley married? And if Haley was married, that would be the father on the birth cert.
So oh, my God.
Thankfully, Haley is not married.
Right.
So then they would say, okay, we need you to do a genetic test to find out who the biological father is.
And do you know?
We've chosen not to know.
You don't know.
Their doctors know.
You didn't. Yeah.
We've chosen not to know.
And if the girls ever ask and say, can we get a test or whatever? Well, A, we'll just message the doctor and he'll tell us. Like, if they want to know, we'll find out, but we just don't care.
So each time we're going back to what we said earlier on when we put in the two embryos.
One of each.
It was one of each,
Exactly.
Yeah. So we don't know. Yeah.
So then in this scenario, we were like, we're not going to do that. But also, if you do that and say, I was the biological father of both, I would be recognized. Owen would suddenly have zero legal rights. He would be a legal stranger to them children in Ireland.
Oh my, it's awful.
So we started going through working with the Irish government to change this. There's this thing called the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill or Act Bill, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, it basically states that all the laws around surrogacy, we had worked with the Minister for Health on this, like really, really in depth. And when I came into the picture, and I'm not saying like, because they had been advocating for everything, but like, unless the minister sometimes sees a family in front of them and hears the story, like it doesn't click with them, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was like, my family aren't recognized. And they were like, well, no, that makes no sense. Of course your family would be recognized because someone who's done the same journey in Ireland would be recognized. And I was like, well, no, because your bill specifically says like, you have to be resident in Ireland for 2 years prior to the birth, like, to be recognized. So I, like, we couldn't because we were in America when we did this, and it excludes all these people.
Yeah.
So we then ended up going through, like, a lot of work to get the bill changed. They ended up not changing the bill. They ended up putting it through and saying, we're going to do amending legislation for this. So it has been, there's two stages of a bill in Ireland. It's enacted, which means, like, it's signed into law, but it hasn't been commenced, which means, like, it hasn't, like, you can't utilize the law
yet. It's not law yet.
Yeah, exactly. So they say they're waiting for the amending legislation. With the amending legislation, we're pushing to get covered. It looks like they are now going to recognize, like, birth certs and births abroad differently than they'll recognize the Irish births. While this affects us in a positive way, our children will be recognized and we'll both be recognized. What I'm now arguing against is, like, yeah, that's fine, but it actually is bullshit for the parents in Ireland, because if we had done our journey in Ireland, it would be illegal still because we would have paid our surrogate. Whereas they have no restrictions against me doing it in the US because I live in the US. But if I lived in Ireland and did the same journey, it's suddenly illegal.
Because you're not allowed to pay to make a baby, right?
Yeah. But you're allowed, you're allowed to pay the agency, you're allowed to pay everyone else bar the woman carrying your child, which is so typical of Irish law.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes no sense.
And there's so many restrictions in the law around, like, women, and it bothers me so much. So, like, one of them is, like, the woman has had to have given birth before she can be a surrogate. And I'm like, how can you put, like, that makes no sense. Like, you're putting, like, an arbitrary rule on these women saying that they must, like, be 25. They must have done this. They must have done this. Like, you're just trying to control a woman's body again.
Women can't make their own decisions. Like, women don't know if they're going to be a good surrogate or not. Like, possibly they might not be, but, you know, like.
No, and but it's up to her to make that decision and the doctor and everything. Yeah. And when we, so there's, like, a couple in Ireland who I know who basically, well, like, most people in Ireland would know them, Brian and Arthur, who did surrogacy, and they used Brian's sister. And they meet probably all the criteria because they did a domestic journey, I assume. They didn't pay her and so on, kind of thing. That, like, it looks like the perfect surrogacy under the new Irish law and the amending legislation. However, and they will be covered, by the way. So it's not about them. But if someone wanted to recreate their journey now, they wouldn't be able to, because if their sister, like, if my friend wanted to do it and his sister hadn't given birth before.
Oh, she's suddenly not eligible.
No, not eligible. And what's crazy about it is, like, they're being so restrictive on it. They're like, yeah, and if you don't meet these laws, not only will your family not be recognized, like, we can put you in jail for 2 years and we can charge you a fee of, like, I think it's up to 50,000 or something.
Oh my God.
What I'm advocating for is so many things, but, like, judicial discretion and so on, to basically say, like, the judge can say this was in the best interest of the child, or, like, you know, the surrogate was 24 and a half, like, as in, I'm not going to say no to that, like, it was for whatever timings, it's in the best interest of the child that the family is recognized. Whereas right now, none of that is possible. The judge has to follow the law down to the letter because they don't have any of that. And then they don't have all these restrictions in it that are just unnecessary. I'm like, you can roll this back, but look, with anything, they're trying to appease a certain type of person that mightn't align with our political values. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to do. And then, of course, you hear, you know, in 5 years when the review period is over, we can come back and say, let's look at this again. But that's, yeah, it's too little too late then.
Oh my God, you're a hard worker. You got your work cut out for you. And it's all just such, and that's just one tiny part of the world, right? That things are so messed up and it's everywhere.
Look at Italy, you know?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I know. So scary.
It's so scary.
And look where this country's headed. I don't even know. Like, knock wood. I don't know we're all going to go to Canada. That's my new thing. I don't know what to do. It's really, like, thanks for advocating, you know, and everybody who can, you know, do that advocating work.
We look time and time again and say, I get this kind of anxiety sometimes where you're like, am I doing enough? Because I'm not, say, like giving the time to other causes that like are dear to our heart as well. Like I try share things when I see it about like trans rights and so on, but it's not where I put like most of my time. Mm-hmm. And like they're one of our most attacked friends at the minute, like as a community, like because they're an easy target right now. And it's like, I often think, oh God, I should, maybe if I invested the time here, but we like queer people are expected to do everything and all we're just work. Constantly fighting. And yeah. It's so hard. And like, I think what I try to say to people is it's okay to focus on one thing and put your energy into it and try fight for that, because we have so many fights and there's so many different people fighting for these things that like, if we don't win the little battles, we're never going to win the big ones. So sometimes it's okay to do that. And then maybe when our children are finally recognized, we'll be able to put in the work to get other laws changed there and so on.
There are so many little fires that we have to put out, right? That is how it feels. That is, and I feel like I'm pulled in so many directions too. My kid's school district, it's like Moms for Liberty has kind of infiltrated like this, like, and there's some like veiled segregation things trying to be pushed in Chelsea, you know, and like, in progressive NYC, in liberal NYC. And it's like, so I feel like I'm fighting that. I'm doing as much as I can to fight that. And then I'm trying to fight for my trans siblings because that's happening too. And, you know, I'm putting this podcast out and I'm trying to fight for family building. And like, it is. There's so many little fires that you feel like have to be put out, right? And you're raising two little girls who are biracial and you're both white dads. So then there's that whole other thing that hearing everything I'm hearing, I'm sure you're doing the work there too to make sure that they feel seen and that the world around them sees them for who they are. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
But when we were looking at the egg donor profiles, we were kind of going, oh, what are we looking for here? And so on. And we came across this egg donor and we were like, she is amazing. She has everything that we want. But we also have this other girl as well who seems to be everything that we want. And so as you said, the first one was an American Nigerian. And then the other one was Italian Irish. And we're kind of going, well, maybe we should just go with the Italian Irish because, you know, we know that, well, half of that culture at least, you know, that this will be fine. Okay, we'll just go with that. Even though we really love the other one more, you know, but we're like, let's just make life easy. You know what I mean?
Let's not give a stigma to our family. Absolutely. Just in case, you know, like that extra thing. And
absolutely.
But then so, also like, why should you have to like, it's like,
I know,
like the grappling with that is even like too much, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh God, are we going to make this decision based on the world around us?
Like, yeah, just to make life easier for us, for them, you know, for our families, whatever it might be. So we decided, let's just go with this Italian Irish girl.
She was lesbian, which I did love.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I was like, this is cool to have another queer person and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
And so she went into the clinic and she has to do her kind of test to make sure everything is okay and whatnot. And is she a match, essentially? And unfortunately, she failed on the STI panel.
Oh,
so
oh,
she had an STI. And we were like, okay, well, you know, get her some medications and we'll try again next month or whatever. And they're like, no.
Surely you can give a pill. Like,
you know, it doesn't work like that. Her fertility has been affected and we're not going to take, because remember we said like we will keep going until we get a success essentially. So yeah, they're like, no, we're not going to go with her because this might
and
be
it's not
work.
That her fertility was necessarily affected.
It's
just
be.
One of
could
them
be.
Things that
it could
as
be.
A side
and,
effect
yeah.
could be.
And you're putting all, it's so much money. So like, you know, you need the best out chances you can get.
Yeah, we had paid $2,000 just for that check.
Yeah, you had to pay for those tests, essentially.
Oh, my God.
So that was out of pocket, $2,000. We were like, oh, no, we've just... And we're launching it. This is the very first step. So we're like, we've already lost $2,000. Like, how much more? And so eventually then the clinic got back to us and they just said, you know, this other girl now you were looking at, you said that you loved, it just so happens that she had matched with the family and then the family actually got pregnant naturally. So she's no longer needed, but she's gone through all the tests. So she is a match, blah, blah, blah. We can use her for you. And you don't have to pay. Yeah,
meant
exactly. So it was fate. And we really do believe that. It was like we were meant to, and we let our brains get in the way, our thoughts kind of, oh, this is not, we'll go with the easier option. But actually, we couldn't be more happy, you know, with how things have turned out. And it's just.
And we did talk to our families and stuff and let the, because it's just, our families are all white Irish. It's not as if they hadn't been around black people or anything like that, but like there was none in our family necessarily. So right. It was like, hey, just so you know, here are things you should think about and like books you should read and so on. Like, mm-hmm. Because like one of the things we read was White Supremacy and Me.
Yeah.
Which is like all about doing the work and holding yourself in that like level of uncomfortableness and saying like, you know, I'm not as like on top of this as I should be. As much as I want to be and I think I'm all okay, we all have like...
inbuilt kind of issues, of course, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We came from Catholic Ireland as well. And it's like we still have that hangover within us that we don't even know is there. And so sometimes it takes shining a spotlight on it and kind of going, do you know that you do that? Yeah. Or is that a thing? And you're like, yeah, like that could actually be a real problem going forward.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, we did the research ourselves. And
then we did a few things like we, after they were born, like, so we had Aria on the Upper West Side. We loved it there. We were like, it's way too white here. Like, yeah. So we moved to Hamilton Heights.
Which is Harlem.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Harlem, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just, like, so many more people who look like her around here. And Nala as well, of course. And then, like, her school, I think there's, like, one white kid in her class kind of thing. Who's funnily, like, Irish as well, which I thought was hilarious. I was like, it's nice for her to be around that and see, like, that representation around her the whole time. Like, for me, I think the biggest thing was I remember hearing this story in Ireland. And it was about, like, a white Irish dad who had lived in, I think it was, like, Kenya for a couple of years. And he had a baby with a woman over there, a black woman, and she was like, I don't want to raise this child. Mm. And he was like, okay, I'll raise the child in Ireland if that's okay. And she was like, sure, whatever.
Surrounded by his family.
And he brought the child back to Ireland. And it was about like how the first few years of her life, like the child just had like the worst hair. And like until like a black woman went up to him and was like, you need to sort
your hair out. Go to this
like,
place.
Here's your card. Like, this is where you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So like from day one, I was very aware of like their hair is going to be different. I don't want to be that parent people are talking about. I want to make sure like I'm on top of these things. So I joined like all these Facebook groups about like black hair, about like black culture, like figuring out like what differences that you like wouldn't think are there.
The bathing routine is different, the hair routine. There's so many different things that you just have to be aware of. Like, and every child is different, obviously.
And then, Aria is so different to Nala, even in terms of hair. So, like, Aria has, like, a tree B. So, like, once I figured it out, super manageable. I know how to do the curls. I know how to make it more curly. I know how to make it less curly for depending on the style. Nala, we're figuring out. She's, like, either, like, I feel like it's 4A or 4C. We're still figuring it out, depending.
It's amazing.
Because the thing is, I want them. I also have like black friends in their like 30s who are like, I don't know how to do my hair. Like, so I have to pay for it all the time. And I'm like, well, I want them to know how to do their hair. So that's something like, it sounds like such a stupid thing, I think. But like to us, that was really important for them to know that. Because you think about like, even you hear on movie sets and stuff that like black women are doing their own hair because people don't know how to do it. Like it's
people
crazy.
People don't know how to do their hair. Yeah, they have to. Yeah, the inclusion needs to happen and representation needs to happen. And it sounds like you're...
Look, you do what you can.
As we're trying.
We're never going to do enough. And I'm sure at some point, like when they're teenagers, they'll say you should have done more here and we'll apologize. And we'll say, look, let's do the work now. Like, that's the thing is like...
We're selective about the books that they have and the programs that they might watch and, you know, foods that they eat even. We're just trying to kind of vary things up as well so that it doesn't, you know, we're just trying, you know, that's all you can do. And
I mean, I think that they're really lucky to have you two as dads. That's what I'll say. that's the point that we make time and time again on this show. We are so intentional down to the fires we put out, down to the fights we choose to take on. And when it comes to family building, we are the most intentional out there. We really do the work. We work hard to make these families and we do the work when they're here too. We really do.
And I think we're always aware that we're being judged all the time.
All the time.
You know, and so it's like, you were there, everything has to be so, you know, you have to be honest, you know? And
it's two dads. Yeah. That's why your daughter's hair is impeccable, right? There's that layer too.
We talked about this at the
party.
And
Because my kid's hair is a mess, you know what I mean? We're two moms, so we're like, it's okay. We know how to do it. We're just not doing it, you know?
And that's the thing is, like, we've talked about this so many times. It's just this expectation about, like, men being crap dads or whatever. I don't know where it came from. Like, Owen, I think you were in a shop one day and, like, Aria was crying because she used to cry when she went into Trader Joe's. And just, like,
she hates we knew it was going to happen.
I hate the grocery store, too. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah. But like some woman came up
just, maybe you should put it in, and just give me advice. I'm just kind of going, no, I'd like, it's why are you telling me what to do? It's just like, you know, it's
because
like,
you're a dumb dad. Yeah, you guys don't know what to do. The condescension is ridiculous, right?
Or like Father's Day, I was out with Aria when she was young, like on my front. And I think I was going to brunch with friends or something. You were sick at the time. So I was like, oh, I'll get her out to the house so that like you can just relax. And basically the amount of people that stopped me and were like, oh my God, you're such a good dad. And I was like, this is outrageous. Like, I'm literally just carrying my child in front of me. Like,
oh my God,
be better. Like, have higher expectations across the world.
I think we're also, us queer families, are doing a great job of breaking that norm. Right?
Yeah,
breaking those boxes. Like, we're shattering these things open for people to see, we're like stuck in these weird molds and we don't have to be.
Yeah.
Like, let's break out, y'all.
Tradition
and I think
has
we're
a hold
doing,
over people. It's so strong, you know, and they
so
feel like
strong.
The right way is the old way, you know, and it's like, no, you build your own path.
It's mind-blowing. And also, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I could talk to you two forever. I first met you at the party I threw, the Pride party.
Yes.
I'm doing another party.
Oh,
it's gonna be a Halloween party for the kids and for all of us. So yeah, I hope you come because then we can all hang out more because I want to talk more about this. So fun. This has been awesome. Thank you both
much. No, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Queer Family Podcast.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
A special thank you once again to California Cryobank for being a sponsor of this episode. Use code QUEERFAM25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And tune in next week for another amazing episode of Queer Family Goodness.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Are you moving through adolescence with your kiddo, navigating the fear and worry that comes with this season of parenting? The Joyful Courage podcast for parents of teens is what you've been searching for. Real conversations about real challenges. Lying, screens, school, risky behavior, I cover it all. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I'm a positive discipline lead trainer and parent coach. I put shows out each week that reframe the messy terrain of the teen years and leave listeners feeling seen and hopeful. Check out Joyful Courage wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you the one keeping everything together in your family, but maybe you're secretly or not so secretly falling apart?
Dude, you are not alone. We have been there too.
I'm Joanne.
And I'm Bree, and we're the hosts of the No Guilt Mom podcast.
If your to-do list never ends, your kids depend on you for everything, and you're constantly putting your own needs last.
Or if you're the go-to parent, but you're starting to feel burnt out and resentful, we're here to help.
Each week, we give you practical strategies from parenting and psychology experts and from our own Real Mom experience to help you take back time, energy, and joy.
So you can stop feeling like you're the family martyr and start leading as a confident, guilt-free role model.
Subscribe to the No Guilt Mom podcast and let's help you ditch the overwhelm and actually enjoy your family again.
Listen now wherever you get your favorite podcasts.